even Dracula will be there.
Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. Thanks very much for being with us on this. Well, it's All Saints Day now, isn't it? It's or is it All Souls Day? It's one of those days that we celebrate the day after Halloween. Jill is on 720 WGN. Good morning, Jill.
Oh, hi, Matt. First, he was talking about big candy bars. I have to laugh because I once won something for Burlington Chocolate Festival, and I had to pick it up at the radio station. And okay. It was two feet by 1 foot long and 2 inches thick. And I was so broke at that time. I was living off of it.
Oh.
But it was pretty cool. Yeah, I've never gone there either. I didn't use the tickets. I think it was Cheap Trick and no one wanted to go. But talking about Halloween and the supernatural, I'm 50 and I've only had one thing that vaguely qualifies. I worked at a hospital and a dad brought his 10-year-old in and he said his son and another little boy had gone to a party, 10, 11, and then they went home to his son's house, and there are guys working on the house, and they both boys said it felt like someone was shoving them, like shoving them in the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then they said things were flying through the air. So they went and got the construction workers, and they didn't see anything. Then they called the dad, and the dad took the son to the minister. Then he brought him to us at the hospital, and I was talking to them, and I thought in my head, I wonder if I should get Father Artman. Just sort of jokingly, I was thinking in my head, and all the lights in the hall went out, which was pretty weird. And they did take urine from the boys to make sure, you know, it wasn't. There had been a rash of, LSD.
How old were the boys?
Maybe, only 10 or 11.
And they thought they were on LSD?
Well, I do remember someone had been giving, like you put it on your tongue. Because I don't know where they get peyote. But I don't know. You know, I didn't follow up to see how the drug test came out. But I don't know how they would come up with that. I mean, the weirdest thing was, someone was hitting them. And I'm wondering, too, there were guys working on a yard. Were they disturbing an old grave? That's the only thing I've ever had happen. And I didn't even say it out loud. I thought maybe we should get the good father. He was a very nice priest. We also had a priest there. And then all the lights go out. But
ooh.
Other than that, I haven't seen my dead mother. I haven't. I don't know if you've ever had anything. I'd like to hear.
I've never had. Well, Patty, you just freaked me out. Don't do that. Jesus.
She's still there?
God, yes. She just walked in and sort of lingered there like a presence in the background.
She's so sweet guarding the horse.
She usually is sweet, but not there she wasn't.
Oh, she's getting full of candy, huh?
She is full of candy. She's all gone. All the people around here are sugar high. It's crazy here, Jill. All right, well, I'll tell you what. We'll keep talking about this. I wonder if other people have good stories about being scared by things or things they've seen. I know Mike is on hold. We'll get to him right after the news. He's a trucker who's driven across the country. Keep listening, Jill. Thank you so much. Do you have a scary story? Have you ever felt a presence? Have you felt something somewhere at some point? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your scary stories. We'll do it right after the news, which is coming up here in just a minute. Later in the show, we're talking about other haunted places in Chicago with Tom Traylor from Haunted Chicago and WeirdChicago.com. And we're going to talk about Amelia Earhart, and we're going to revisit the War of the Worlds. It was 76 years ago on Halloween Eve when Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air did a live broadcast of the War of the Worlds. They said it's a dramatization. We're redoing H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. But not everybody heard that. Why? Why? How would people be sucked into that? They were. It's amazing. It's a great story. We'll talk about it later in the show as well. 312-981-7200. Your scary stories after the news. It is 2:30 in the morning. Let's get upstairs and check the news right now with David Jennings. Matt Bubala with you. Radio 720. WGN. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in the Historic Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Mile. 312-981-7200. Scary stories. Mike, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Morning, buddy.
What's going on?
I'll tell you, I drove trucks across the country for 27 years.
Okay.
And the thing that anybody who's driven truck out there and been out there, we've been out there in the middle of the night and, you know, all sorts of different places. And you definitely do get a second sense of there's places where you know there's evil. I mean, you actually feel it. I mean, it's,
seriously?
Without a doubt.
So, like, towns you've stopped in, or just as you're driving down the highway in some desolate stretch, you, like, feel like, my God, something bad happened here?
Yeah, well, actually, I can tell you, I had to make a pickup, and it was actually Dover, Delaware. They wouldn't let us park on the premises. They said, oh, you can park across the street. So I went and parked across the street, and they said, oh, there's other trucks that park there all the time.
Okay.
You know, there was two other trucks there, and the thing is, there was a building there. But on that building, there was, like, you could see it was, like, pentagrams, spray-painted on the walls and stuff. It wasn't gang signs. It was, like, pentagrams.
Oh.
And you just had a weird, you know, it's just one of those things when you pull into the place and, the hairs on the back of your neck are standing up.
Oh, but
you know, oh yeah. And the thing is, like, you know, I was supposed to be taking a 10-hour break, and I've always done that all my life. I mean, I always adhered to the rules. And the thing is, when I pulled in there, I mean, I couldn't sleep. It was restless. And the thing is, like, well, thank you know, I believe in God. And the thing is, if you believe in God, you got to believe there's the other side too.
Yeah.
And the thing that was bad about it was that I left when I left the other three trucks left too, and everybody got on the scene going, did you get any sleep? And to the man, nobody said. It's the reason why we're leaving is because you're leaving. Nobody wanted to be there. Everybody had the same feeling that it was just a bad place to be. You know, I mean, it was not just a second sense, but you could tell that there was something wrong.
Oh, man. This was in Dover, Delaware?
Dover, Delaware. Yeah. It was actually, there were two plants. There was a Procter & Gamble plant, and there was a Kraft plant. And it was across the street. That was the only place where you could park because, you know, I was out of hours and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing that was bad about it was that, now, this is the part that really threw me for a loop. I knew there was something evil. But the thing is, when I left, by the time I got back to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, both my eyes were stuck. Literally, I wound up having a severe pink eye, and like I couldn't barely open my eyes. And I was fine, you know, when I got there. So you're talking within 6 hours' time. I'm talking about having something severely wrong.
Do you think that's just because you didn't sleep because you were freaked out, or do you think something got in your eyes?
No. I've had situations where I had like a lot of drivers. Sometimes it happens where you just don't sleep well. But the thing is, it was two eye infections, and I'm going, something's wrong, and it was funny. But it was ironic because the way it hit me. I mean, I've been 27 years over the road. You know when you're getting sick and when there's something right and wrong. But the thing is that it came upon me. It was just like if somebody threw something at me, you know. But the thing is, I think it was. You know, I was talking to this one other driver, and he says he had been there before, and somebody said something that there might have been. Like satanic stuff in that area there by that building. And the thing that might have done it was that because he had the same feeling too. And I had, it wasn't at the same time. He had spent time there too. And, you know, he had the same effect on him too.
Man, did you ever have to go there again?
No. No.
If they had assigned you that route again, would you have called in sick?
No. I was an independent contractor. I used to book my own loads, and anytime I saw something going to Dover, Delaware, I wouldn't go.
Really? You said that's, yeah. I'm never going back there again.
Yeah. There's other roads. There's one road out west. I've never been on it, but they call it the Devil's Highway.
And truckers will talk about this stuff and tell stories?
Yes, they will.
Man.
Yeah. There's plenty of places that you can travel. I remember once when I was going past, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, I was going past where the little bighorn was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nighttime. I was riding with the window because it was a beautiful night. Weather is, I was riding without the AC on. It was just like the cool night air. But I knew, I had a feeling that I was rolling by a cemetery or someplace. Yeah, I knew there was spirits there.
Hmm.
And it just left you with that feeling.
Oh, man.
And it was once again the stuff, the hairs on the back of your neck standing up, But the thing is, I love God, and the thing is I know is, as long as he's, I'm right with him, he's gonna protect me.
Right.
So there's no problem, there's no fear there,
Still, if you can avoid that, you'll just stay away from it, right?
yeah, because you don't sleep well for...
Yeah, I imagine.
Because it just puts you off,
Yeah.
But the little bighorn thing, that left me, like I knew there was, two sides of people who died there, but those sort of things don't usually... that sort of thing is like the supernatural doesn't really bother me so much because, I'm a combat veteran in Vietnam, and the thing that doesn't scare me as much as they said, don't worry about the dead because they can't hurt you. The living that will hurt you, but what I can't stand and tolerate is pure evil, and there's places that you feel it. I mean, without a doubt. Ask any other trucker; they'll tell you that if you, like I said, quarter century of driving truck, and you do feel things.
Yeah, I imagine you've seen it all, Mike. Thank you so much for the call. Have a great night. We've got some other callers on the line. 312-981-7200. Greg, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you tonight? This morning?
Well, I'm a little freaked out now. I'm hearing these stories. I got Patty sneaking up behind me.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep anytime soon. But anyway, hearing all these stories. But so when I was 11, that's about 25 years ago. I'm 36 now. But I went to this very popular tourist destination in South Central Wisconsin. And I was in a room called the Organ Room, and apparently I'm totally blind, so I have to tell you that I was born totally blind. So
okay.
I touched someone who I thought was my mom, to the side of me because I was a little freaked out, And this lady, this elderly woman, came and said, after 5 or 10 minutes of walking around this room after I touched the person who I thought was my mom, she said, "When you touched me 5 minutes ago, God spoke to me." And I was thinking, I don't know what I was thinking, but she said, "God said that he didn't want to make you blind." And so she then proceeded to put saliva. She said what they did in the Bible, and I remember her saying this as clear as day, even though it was 25 years ago. She said, in the Bible, they put saliva and mud over a blind man's eyes. So she said, "I don't have any mud, but I'm going to put some of my saliva over your eyes."
Wait a minute, hold on. This is your mom or just somebody that you thought was your mom that you...
No, this was someone who I thought was my mom, who I touched.
Okay.
Accidentally.
Okay.
So she said, "I'm going to put saliva over your eyes, and I'm going to pray that God would heal you of your blindness." And I, to this day, I've talked to my parents about this ever since. I'm like, why didn't you stop this, crazy lady from doing this, because it was just, it freaked me out. And so this lady prayed for me. I'm not sure what she what she even prayed. I wasn't even paying attention, but she put her own saliva over my eyes, and she prayed for me that God would heal me.
Where were your parents while she was doing this?
They were close by, and I don't know why they, you know, they didn't stop her from, you know, from praying, but I think they were as freaked out as I was.
Yeah,
you know?
And they saw her, so did they say, were they so, was she like really scary looking, and so they were kind of stunned?
I think so. Like I said, she was probably about 75 or 80, but yeah, it was one of those things, and then she said, call me when you can see. And then she just kind of went away. And I will never go to that place in the organ room, you know, specifically at that place. Again, I was just so creeped out. And the funny thing is, since that has happened, I've had that happen about 5 or 6 times where people have wanted to pray for me.
Have they wanted to put to saliva on your eyes too?
Not going that far,
okay.
But
because I'll take the prayers. I'll be like, hey, sure, pray for me. I'll any prayer for somebody is nice, right? That's a very nice thing. Thank you for that. Don't lick my eyelids, though. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of, you know. Sometimes I'll say, sure, you can pray for me, but it still freaks me out. One time I had it where I was at a church and someone was. You know, they call it speaking in tongues, I guess. And
yeah.
They started praying and they were speaking like it almost sounded like baby talk, you know, over me. And it was just, and I'm a God-fearing man, Matt, but I just was so freaked out by that whenever somebody does that, I just get a little, you know, suspect.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
The way she said it, like, God didn't want you to be blind.
Greg, where was this at again? Where's the organ room? What was this at?
House on the Rock in Spring Green.
Oh, the House on the Rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The only things that really scare me like that in the world are things like this that people bring religion into. The Exorcist. You know, stuff like that where you feel like maybe that could really happen. That freaks me out. And if somebody came up and said, I'm going to heal your child, let me pray for them, let me put saliva on their eyes, I wouldn't let them. You know, it's got to be tough for a parent, because I want to say, for all you parents out there, don't let some weird stranger, you know, lick your kid's eyes and pray for them. At the same point, 25 years ago, because how old were you, Greg?
I was 11.
You were 11. I mean, I wonder if as a parent you feel so bad for your child who's blind, you want anything for them to be able to see. And maybe you're just stunned by it for a second to the point where you don't say, no, get out of here, you weirdo. You think, I don't know, you know,
well,
we're praying for a miracle.
Maybe they thought there was something to that. I mean, my parents have always raised me, you know, to be independent, you know, as independent as I can be, you know, for a blind person, you know. But, like, you know, so as far as I know, there's no, you know, bad feelings, but maybe at that point, yeah, maybe there was a little bit of that, but still, it was just, it gives me the creeps thinking about it.
I'll bet.
Even now. So needless to say, I didn't call her because I never heard.
Did she actually leave a number?
She did, yes. She left a number on a napkin.
Do you still have it, Greg?
I don't think so.
If I were you, I would get. I mean, I don't know, because you don't want to mess with the spirits. But I would get I'd get the number and I'd call and go, by the way, it's 25 years later, and I'm still blind. So I just want you to know you did not heal me. Maybe she walks around thinking she healed you.
Possibly, I don't know. I still remember her name too and where she was from. I'm not going to say that.
Don't
on air,
say it. Don't say it because it's freaking me out that you would say it, and then it's going to be in my head, and I'm going to have dreams, and I'm going to. Now, Greg, let me ask you, as a blind man, because I think so many of us, when we're freaked out, it's by visual things. I mean, sometimes it's by sounds and music and creaking doors and things like that, but. You know, clowns or scary movies, it's such a visual thing. Is it, you know, so since you don't actually see movies and things like that, what freaks you out? Is it, You know, I know your other sight senses are heightened, so you hear things more clearly or things like that. But as a blind person, when you're home alone or things like that, is it a fear of not being able to see things, or what really scares you in life?
I guess what scares me is, you know, a lot of the same things that would scare a sighted person. Like if someone was to come up to me and go boo, you know, really loud, someone actually just did that to me tonight. You know, I was coming out of, I was at a Halloween party and coming out of the restroom and someone went boo. And, you know, it scared me, you know, it scared me. But when I'm alone, like, I don't know, I've had scary dreams at night. You know, I have a humongous fear of dogs, ironically, because a lot of blind people have seeing eye dogs, but I have a humongous fear of dogs. Mm. So if a dog were to bark, you know, or I have dreams, like my bad dreams are being locked up in a basement with, you know, with, you know, five or six wild dogs, you know, something like that. Those are you know, probably my weirdest dreams. But yeah, it's a lot of sound stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, you know, I was invited to a haunted house tomorrow night, and I'm still scared of people coming out and touching me, you know, too, because that's scary. I mean, not knowing where they're coming from or what they're doing, or, you know.
Well, it's interesting. So, and that's interesting, Greg, because, you know, in a haunted house like that where it's pitch black, for sighted people, you don't see it coming. And that's kind of, that's the regular for you. If somebody wants to come up and scare you, you wouldn't see them coming. Maybe you'd sense them or hear them better than we would. But, you know, it's kind of an equalizer for us sighted people to go into one of those pitch black scary houses where they're going to jump out at you.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. Roller coasters sometimes scare me too, you know.
I won't get on a roller coaster, but that's my stomach more than just being scared of, you know, anything supernatural.
Right. Interesting. Right. But yeah, it's scary movies don't do it for me because, you know, I don't really see anything.
Right.
So, right. You know, it's,
you need to get the old-time scary radio shows you can still buy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, so. Greg. Well, have a good night. I hope eventually you can get to sleep, but don't be scared.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
All right, thanks,
okay,
Greg.
Good show. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. Kathy, Charlotte, and Jay all have scary stories at 312-981-7200. You can also call or text Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. I think Elif is scared, so she's getting all upbeat on us. But this is a little more appropriate, Elif. 312-981-7200. Kathy has a spooky story. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Matt.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Matt.
What's your spooky
voice?
I guess. What's your scary story, Kathy?
Well, I have two kind of stories. My mom passed away like 36 years ago, and so about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months after she passed away, I was driving in my car, and I was just kind of thinking about her and kind of like talking, you know, like how much I missed her, and you know, like things that have been going on, and I suddenly, like the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I felt like this pressure on my shoulder. And I'm like, that's weird. And I turn around in my car seat and looked in the back seat, and there was nobody there. But I felt, you know, this pressure on my arm. It was the freakiest thing. I'm like, maybe that was Mom. I'm hoping it was.
Well, it probably was. That sounds like a hand on your shoulder, just like Mom would have come up to you at the table back in the day and put a hand on your shoulder and just telling you everything's going to be fine.
Absolutely. And then my other story is my brother passed away like 10 years ago. And my brother and I are both big music people. I'm a mobile DJ. And he was a DJ that did DJing on the north side, you know, different clubs on the north side.
Okay.
So we had this big love of music together. And so he passed away, and I was taking care of him while he was sick. And he had he really liked the artist Seal, and he really liked the band Rush.
Okay.
So when he was getting close to passing away, I would just play Seal and Rush music for him because I knew he really enjoyed it, and he couldn't talk, so I'd like, he'd probably like to hear this, you know. So, and then he passed away, and it was probably for a year after he passed away, every time I would go into a public place like a gas station or a grocery store or, you know, some kind of place like that, I would hear Seal or Rush come on the overhead music. Like every time I would go someplace, it was so freaky. And I would call my daughter and be like, well, I'm at the gas station, Seal's on the radio again, or on the overhead again. That was really creepy.
Oh, interesting.
Like a whole year. Yeah.
Because you don't hear a lot of Seal.
You don't hear a lot, and you don't really hear a lot of
Rush.
Farewell to Kings, Rush, and that was the album I played it. I would always hear something from Farewell to Kings.
Do you think, because it's interesting, Kathy, when like you're thinking about getting a certain type of car, suddenly you'll see that mm-hmm. car on the road all the time, and you never noticed it before. Do you think maybe Rush was being played at its regular interval and you were just realizing it because you were so tuned into it? Or do you think you were being sent a message?
I don't know. I know that the easiest thing for spirits to manipulate is electronics.
How do you know this? How do you know that?
Well, because I've read a lot of books. Like, Jennifer Weigel, you know,
yeah,
one of the gals
sure.
from WGN.
Sure.
You know, I read her book, and after I read her book, I talked to a couple psychics, and they'll tell you these kind of things that, you know, like lights, like something, an electronic toy with lights on it
mm-hmm.
can easily be manipulated by a spirit from, you know, because it's an energy. It's really weird. I know. It's like, because I thought about it, like, I'm like, well, maybe I would just, for a year, they just played the same music on Muzak at all these places, and they all had the same music. I don't know, you know. Who knows?
So interesting.
But it was kind of comforting.
Yeah,
comforting.
That's cool. I mean, that's more, instead of scary, spooky stories, you have kind of comforting, spooky stories.
Right. Now, my daughter, she sees things. You know, like, she sees the shadows kind of walk past her in her peripheral vision.
Oh, now you're freaking me out, Kathy. You had to go there.
I've never experienced that. But she's like, you can tell there's different energies, and there's bad energies and comforting energies. And she's like, I know. I've never experienced that, but she says she does.
All right, Kathy. No. I gotta get the next spooky story on. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, right. Matt. Thanks for giving me something to listen to on my way home from my show.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Thanks for rocking the suburbs.
All right, baby.
Have a good night. Jay has a scary, spooky story. Jay, is that correct?
Yes, it is a spooky story. I mean, it scared me. It scared my mom, my dad, and the neighbors.
Okay.
I don't have an overactive imagination, really, but probably what happened. I learned at a very early age, like when I was 7, 8, or 9 years old, I learned how to play the organ, you know, like the Wurlitzer or
sure.
the Hammond organ back in the 1960s when those house organs were a very important part of furniture in a house, okay? So when I was 7, 8, or 9 years old, I can't remember, right after school, mom would say to me, okay, you need to practice your organ lesson that you had yesterday. And so I would practice it, and then she, while she was cooking dinner. So she called me in then to eat. And then, while we were sitting down for dinner, we heard voices from the living room where this organ was. And my mother said, did you turn off the organ? Because I always, as a kid, come on, get your meal. You know, I will always forget to turn off the organ. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, reason why she asked me if I turned the organ off was because there were voices coming from the living room, and there was no one else in the house but her and I. My dad was just going to come home in a little bit. And so we went into the living room. There were voices coming out, a conversation of a couple was coming out of the speaker of the organ, of the house organ. And then we got really spooked. And so we went down on the floor and we listened. We could hear a conversation of a man and a woman speaking about their terrible day that they had. And then we looked at each other and we said, well, there's people talking. We could hear people talking from the organ. Can you? And I said, yeah, I can. So then my mother said, hello, hello, is there someone in this organ? And then all of a sudden the sound stopped. This conversation stopped. And that even freaked us out. And so then the conversation started again. And then to make a long story short, what had happened was those were also the days of CB radios. And so there were people on CB radios that were talking, and the frequency of the sound over the airwaves connected to the speaker of the organ. And we had neighbors. My mother had called neighbors. Come on over. You know, we're not losing our minds or anything. You know, we don't have an overactive imagination. This was like the event of the year. And my mother, you know, she directed all the conversations about all this with this person for the sound coming from the speaker of the organ. And then we actually had like a three-way conversation with this couple that was on a CB radio. It was just the freakiest. I laugh too, man. Let me tell you.
You do now. You didn't back then, right? Jay, thank you so much. I got to get us to the news because you heard the tone. It is after 3 o'clock.